everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Based on Speculation on the Pop Culture News and the Research, so you don't have to. I'm Joe.
I'm Jackson.
And,
Our friend, he's missing. He's gone.
Yeah. Presumed gone.
Missing, presumed gone. Joe Lucia will not be joining us today for a myriad of reasons.
Yeah.
You can make up your own.
Yeah.
You can decide why Joel Dusher isn't here.
You can basically speculate
exactly
why he's in here. So, you know, you can let us know.
Yeah, send us an email.
Reach us out.
We are always reading him.
Oh, yes, we are. Maybe even JD himself will read this.
He might read it. We do.
Hey, boy.
Yes?
How are they going to introduce the mutants to the MCU again, now that we've had a bit of time?
This episode.
Yes.
So long ago. Such an optimistic age.
So optimistic.
I remember. We were talking. We were excited. I kind of even almost recall the specific things we were thinking. We were like, maybe from another universe. Maybe they've always been here.
Mm.
Maybe there's only a small collection of mutants. Or they've been here, but they've been hiding it. Or they've been here and the MCU is just going to be like, hey, they were always here. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But we were still... I think, one, we still believed they might get introduced, like, normally.
Mm.
Now, I don't know. I don't think so anymore.
No. Like, in an ideal world, and again, so much has changed as well with the comic books.
Yeah.
And there's that weird thing when it comes down to, like, I guess that synergy between comics and the films. And you see this now where clearly no one gives a shit. I don't know. You see some of the MCU stuff bleeding into
the reverse.
No.
Because wasn't there like a thing, I kind of remember when the MCU first started and it was going Mondo big, Bucks big, people were like, brother, this is going to boost comics like crazy. And then like in the mid-year area, they were like, whoa, actually comic readership has dropped since the introduction of these movies.
Probably. Like I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Because the best example is... all the Spider-Verse stuff that's come there. Everyone's like, oh my God, these movies are really good.
Yeah.
And like, oh, I really want to start, you know, reading some Spider-Man comics. And every single current Spider-Man reader is like, don't.
Yeah, it's bad.
Don't do that. No, it's awful.
Awful. Yeah.
Spider-Man being a goblin.
It is weird. I don't know why. I mean, I don't really know what the best thing to do in that situation would be, but I don't know why they were like, okay, people are going to want to read the comics after seeing the movie.
Yeah.
We're going to make this comic fucking good. No one's done that, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I remember when the X-Men first came out in the early 2000s, and like I remember getting the comic book adaptation of the film, which was film adaptation of comic. And it was just like a weird kind of read.
Yeah.
Like they just weren't good.
I have it in my head. And maybe one of you freaks listening, maybe this is you. Somebody that I know in some way only reads the comics, like has only read Spider-Man movie comics, but never read any other Spider-Man comics and never seen a Spider-Man movie.
So they only read like Spider-Man,
like adaptation comics of the movie. If this is true and not a thing I dreamed.
Yeah, that's you. A choice.
What are you doing? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's cool. You're bucking the trend. You're living your life the way you want. That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I don't really know a lot about the comic book business side of things. Like, if it was up to me, I look at it from a consumer perspective.
Yeah.
I look at it from, like, I don't know, ease of what I am collecting comics as a kid and then, you know, growing up as an adult and whatnot. And for me, collecting, like, floppies is just, I don't want to do that anymore.
Oh,
I don't want to read month to month. I don't want to have to do that.
Yeah.
The floppies get, like, you know, damaged on your shelf. They're hard to organize. They're hard to store.
Yeah.
They're just very annoying and frustrating, and they're very expensive. And at the end of the day, there's that weird thing in your brain, which is like, but one day they'll be worth a lot of money, which, no, they won't.
Yeah, not true. It won't ever be worth it, really.
No.
Floppies is kind of a Beanie Babies situation in a way.
Yeah, yeah. It was like almost like a proto-Beanie Baby kind of thing. Like,
there were some people that did make money off, like, finding old, like, comic books.
But you got to be, like, a collector.
No.
Like, or, no, like, no, as in, no, as no, in by no, a collector, no. I mean, you got to know No. What, you'll, no?
Not
they
even
were just
that.
Lucky?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. I guess you got to be lucky.
It's
like
lucky.
Real gambling.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I wouldn't even say real gambling, because like, if you're playing, say, anything with cards,
at least level of skill,
well, this is more like slot machines, I guess.
It's a kind of gambling.
Inheriting a slot machine from your parents or your great-grandparents that, you know, you just got to pull it once and then you hit the jackpot.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's kind of... You see, you know, you heard of these like success stories back in the day, like in the 90s or so, or even earlier, where it was like, yeah, someone they would find this just stack of comic books that were like from the 70s and the 60s, yeah. And they were in pristine condition because they sort of were just tucked in an attic somewhere where the weather condition was good enough that there was no deterioration.
Yeah.
No bugs were eating them. And because, you know, everyone back then was just like, what's this? I'm going to buy this Superman comic and just, you know, roll it up and put it in my back pocket. And
to have, know, like, a pristine one was, like, a big deal.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, my dad's friend, he... had a bunch of comics. He had a bunch of Disney comics, but like old Disney comics from like the 50s and 60s. And I remember I would read them, but they were clearly like sealed away. Like these were like valuable. And he was like, I guess you can read them, Jackson. And then I remember being like, can I take them home? And my dad was like, oh, can you take it? I destroyed that comic. Like I shredded it. That was probably like, I don't know what it was worth. It was like.
Probably nothing, to be honest.
Well, like, yeah.
Again, it's just a lot of these things people are like, oh, that's going to be worth much money. It's just because it's old doesn't mean it's going to be worth anything.
I think he at least believed it was valuable. I don't remember if he knew specifically. Yeah, like, but hey, if you know if.
Old Disney.
Disney comics have any value. It just feels like the kind of thing where like. Specifically old Disney comics. I don't know. You could imagine them being like, oh, this fucking Donald Duck one. Primo.
Appearance of Pluto.
Yeah, let me know if I shredded thousands of dollars because that would be extremely funny for me. Yeah.
So when initially we were sort of discussing this around about maybe when it was this idea of like, oh, we've got the like, X-Men finally had this really big wave of, it's interesting now.
Yeah.
It's not shit. Oh, shit, let's have a look. And it was the introduction of the Cohen Age.
Yeah.
Which was like, all right, mutants are now becoming their own, like, ethno-state, basically.
Yeah.
And it was like the beginnings of a mutant nation and, like, the deals they had to do with, like, basically the deals with the devil, as it were.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like we have to kind of give amnesty to all, like, the villains and the people that have
got like Juggernaut in.
Yeah, not just Juggernaut, but Apocalypse.
Toad.
Toad, Mr. Sinister, all those kind of people. And you're like, And it was like, very, very interesting to see this sort of world building. And then they kind of changed Moira McTaggart completely. They made her a mutant who was like, when she dies, she goes back to the start with all her memories, which was great. Because, you know, another show that we do together, Plumbing the Death Star, there was an episode we did, which was like, how do we fight like best crime fighting superpower?
Yeah, it's an iconic episode.
And I put forward the idea that you live the lives of your cum.
Yeah, that's true. Every time you jizz, you live that part. What that jizz could have been,
and then you use that future knowledge to fight crime.
That's kind of what she was in a way.
In a way, yeah. That's awesome. Clearly Jonathan Hickman's
big
a fan.
Hickman loves anything we do. Yeah.
So they made Moira a mutant, and it was kind of like, well, you have, you know, X many lives, and it was like you have 10 lives, maybe 11 if you do things right. And it was kind of very interesting,
like
and
a cat or Doctor Who.
And so with Moira, it started. I liked that as an idea, and it was this kind of thing where she started being like, okay, it's the first life, she just lived a normal life. The second life, she's like, that's fucked up. Maybe I need to cure mutants, and then she got by Mystique and that. And then the second one, she's like, all right, I will help mutants then. And then she was like, okay, that didn't work either. And all these different things and all kind of came together where it was, no matter what happened, it was always mutants versus machines was sort of end goal.
Like
and
the Sentinels?
Yeah, like the Sentinels, but a bit further, something called like the Phalanx, which is this kind of alien techno-organic race. And that was like taking over the world. And it was this kind of thing of very fascinating, very interesting stuff. So when that was sort of coming out, it was this really, really cool thing. I was like, okay, if they're going to start doing this for the films, this wouldn't, it would be very weird because you're John Q Citizen, no X-Men of bald man wheelchair, guy with lasers, Lady Think.
Iceman, Lady Think.
And Beast, I guess. Is there a fire guy? There's probably a fire guy.
I can very easily put Johnny Storm. Mm. His name Johnny Storm? Johnny Torch?
Human Torch, Johnny Storm.
Okay, thank God. I can very easily just plop him in the original X-Men, and it's like no issue. I think it's because Iceman's there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you got an Iceman, you can have a fire guy.
Oh, yeah, this is like Spider-Man and his super friends.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Well, it's like Iceman, Spider-Man, and like Firestar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's just another fire person.
It works. It makes sense.
And then, you know, Johnny Storm's also very good friend with Spider-Man, so it makes sense. Yeah, I'm right there.
Yeah, I wonder. So the interesting thing with introducing the X-Men is that the MCU at the moment, it feels kind of dead in the water. I mean, I know it's not, but it feels dead in the water. There's no hype anymore. Or maybe there is and I just don't see it. But I like to think that I am online enough that if there was hype, I would, it would like show up somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I'm not that online anymore in terms of like Twitter and that, or X Roman 10, whatever it's called these days. Because I'm like, wow, that's bad now, and awful. It was bad before, and you've made it worse.
Yeah, it sucks to be there.
Just, not engaged.
That's smart.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I go on Reddit every night again because I'm an old man, and I'm like, I remember this and how to use this, I guess.
Yeah,
even that is also kind of garbage. Everything's just garbage.
It's bad to be in
Threads, that kickoff.
I don't know, dude. Blue Sky? I'm actively avoiding any of it. Let Twitter die around me like a maggot in the corpse of a fox. And then I'll be free. And I'll just live on Instagram or whatever, and that'll be my life. Yeah. But because there's no... I mean, like, I think we said this in the past, not on the X-Men episode, but on other episodes. It really feels like they missed the boat for when to put the X-Men in the MCU. Yeah. It feels like... When do you reckon would have been the best time?
So I think would have been the best time would have been the beginning of after Endgame.
Oh yeah,
because again it kind of answers that question of, well, where were they?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you introduce them at any given moment and it's like, oh, they've always been there. It's like, oh, okay, then what were they doing?
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And so you don't want to introduce them directly after the blip because then it takes away from. Everything that's happening.
Could you have introduced them like Civil War era?
Probably, but you start thinking about when would be the perfect time to do it, and like would it detract from so many things?
Yeah.
So like Civil War era, yeah, but you're detracting from Spider-Man, or in this case, I'd argue Spider-Man would be detracting from the X-Men.
That's true.
And so you kind of want. And how are you going to do this?
It's just a tricky, weird thing, I guess, where if you don't have it from the beginning, it feels, it's just like, it's kind of got to be its own.
Yeah.
Its own. So like, I was like, oh, if you introduce it around Civil War. But I'm like, but that era was when we were like, we've met all these characters in phase one. And now we want to learn what the fuck they're doing in phase two and three. Like, it's like, oh, now we know who Thor is. Give me Thor stories.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of want to wrap that up. And then be like, and hey, now here's the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
You introduce them, and then you're like, oh, give me the X-Men stories.
Yeah.
I guess a really thing that sort of fucked over the MCU in a lot of ways was that, like, they had a cast of characters that we liked.
Yeah.
We didn't really, I mean, the connected universe was, like, neat, but really we were just like, what's Tony Stark going to do next? And then they never put in the groundwork to give us a new cast of characters we liked. Yeah.
Well, they've tried, but they never, didn't succeed as much as they could have.
And they also just introduced them in a really, like, shotgun, scattershot kind of way, where it was like we're not focusing who the fucking guys are anymore. Like,
Who is the guy? You know,
who's the guy, the guy, baby? Who's the guy?
I don't know who the guy is.
Yeah.
And so, like, you could have done something, like, sort of at the end of Endgame.
Yeah.
So when, you know, Tony Stark and Cap are basically gone and retired. Yeah. It's I think then and there is like your moment when you sort of want to introduce it. Like that's the post credits, it were. Something that you could have done was, you know, very simple, right? So, you know, why weren't they at the Battle of
New York or whatever?
Not New York, the Battle of Thanos
at
the very end there with all the portals being open. It's like, well, the world didn't know about him because, like, ideally, what would have. So, if I was in charge, it would have been just like, okay, hey. Post credits, Endgame. So we have, I am Iron Man. You have the funeral, all that kind of stuff. Everyone's sad. Post credits opens up to a very much abandoned
X-Mansion.
Mansion.
It's
been like kind of trash for the last 5 years, and then like bam, you know, it's suddenly Xavier is there. Like all the wheelchair starts forming, And like you just see the wheel, like the wheelchairs that went, like yeah. some legs. Then if you haven't cast this yet, yeah, don't worry don't
have
about
to show
it.
The face. You don't have to show the face. Yeah.
And then just having like that. Like form,
mm.
and then you're like, "Oh shit, Xavier's back!" Yeah, and then yeah. the whole idea there behind that, I would be like, "Right." Weirdly, all the hey, don't worry about it. But all the mutants, they were in. They were blipped.
Yeah, yeah. You blipped. Don't have to. You don't have to worry about the. I mean, it's all stupid anyway.
Yeah.
So you can just be like, "The X gene made them more likely to be blipped."
Well, yeah, 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 yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Like a hand waving mm. kind of thing to be like, you know, that if you have an X-Men movie, it's just kind of a, it's you have that fish out of water thing, which is like, not only have we got powers and that kind of stuff, but we're also
secret.
We're secret, mm. but we've also been, we fucked up yeah, the last yeah, 5 years. True, what true. The hell has happened to the world? Why did we go?
Mm.
And then it can be a thing where it's like, you know, a one-off line to be like, well, it looks like it wasn't just mutants that, you know, chuffed off. But if you were a mutant, you were weirdly more likely to
be
chuffed off. And then just have...
I feel like a benefit there too is that like it kind of... Yeah. If then your next phase was X-Men heavy.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, we're doing 3 X-Men TV shows. You're not getting the Thor movie for a while. You're not mm-hmm. getting an Iron Man movie for a while. Well, he's dead, of course. You're not getting a Captain America movie. Well, he's retired. Anyway,
yeah.
You're not getting any of the main cast, but for the next phase, it's all X-Men, baby. Mm. We're giving you a solo Wolverine movie. We're giving you a solo fucking Gambit movie with fucking mm-hmm. whatever his name is. He's been wanting to make from 10
minutes. Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum, yeah, exactly. Then that ending at the end of Endgame is almost like the... phase equivalent of Nick Fury coming in at the end of Iron Man and being like, hey, brother, there's more X-Men out here, or there's more superheroes. Now it's like, hey, brother, we're starting a new phase. It's a bit different or whatever. And then it doesn't really feel like you're spinning your wheels so much. It feels like you're like kind of leading towards something.
And like you need to start small.
Yes.
Like you really need. And so if it was just Xavier and Xavier was the only mutant, as in like the only older mutant or of that generation, like that is the one who's like, yes, right, I'm hot, you know. And then they would be, you know, teenagers or at least young adults of like, and you just have the original five. You want to do the original five, or you can, you know, again, if you want to like, try and have that a bit more diverse, have a few different other characters, but that's your original like team of X-Men.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why they weren't at the Battle of New York. That's why
they
weren't
many of them.
Not they're young.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then
kids,
you know you could have that thing of like you know well we could have you know depending on whatever the you know whoever be the new Captain America or the new Nick Fury or even just Nick Fury.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
to be like, why weren't you there at the Battle of Thanos? And then the reason why like a lot of people are like, hang on, is Xavier a bit of a what does got up there where he's like you're just training child soldiers, right? Him to step in and be like, they're not child soldiers, they're students.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
They need to be protected. What are you talking about? Why would I send them in? And then you have that sort of conflict of like, well, they can help. With great power come great responsibility.
What? Yeah. What was the explanation for why the Eternals weren't helping with Thanos? Like, I was just thinking that. I was like, you know, because like part of the X-Men, and it's the thing we talked about previously where it was like, oh, you got to explain. Mm. Why weren't they in the previous films? Mm-hmm. But I'm like,
were the Eternals, but they robot.
I feel like or there is like, some explanation, but I forget what it is.
After the bomb got dropped.
Oh, we stepped out of human affairs.
They were like, we need to not interfere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's so funny.
I think that
there's
was
the
it?
Bomb, sure, dude, but you're like Superman. like, yeah, I get you don't want to do another Hiroshima, but like, you could stop Thanos.
Yeah.
But like, I think one way you could go about it as well, is just another, just spitballing, is at the end of Endgame, your post-credit scene is like the mansion. Mm. You start having somebody come back, but it's not Professor X. It's Wolverine, maybe played by fucking Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant.
Hugh Jackman's back. What fuck? No, played by, I nearly fell off my chair. No, played by Daniel Radcliffe, I think is good casting for Wolverine. I think that would be awesome. Anyway, him coming back and being like, where the fuck are the X-Men? What is going on? And then you go into a solo Wolverine movie where he can kind of do that like explaining, that kind of exposition of like, where have they been? And it's a bit of a mystery to solve, and it's a bit of a mystery for the phase. Mm. Where have the X-Men been? What's going on? I don't know what it is, but it gives you a little something to grab onto,
like,
you know?
Because you don't want to retread some of the X-Men movies that have come before, which is sort of like what you're trying to avoid, right? Yeah. So you've got like the early 2000 movies where they, it was just sort of like a couple of students there and they were, you know, jetting around the world or whatever. You don't really want to retread the whole Stryker thing, which is just kind of, you know, the Weapons X program, Wolverine Mysterious Past, maybe, I don't know. Yeah. And like also you don't want to do, again, X-Men First Class because you're like, well, we've just, it's kind of done, right? And, like, you don't involve time travel shit because, like, oh, Days of Future. So it's this kind of thing of, like, you're trying to, like, some of the stuff that they've already done would be kind of good to grab again and redo but at the same time.
But you don't want to reach, you don't be like, oh, I'm just watching that movie again.
Yeah. But you could do something like that where it's like, yeah, Wolverine is just like, wait, where did
where
I go
are the X-Men? Where are the X-Men? I don't remember the last, you know, whatever. I know, I feel like in one of the other X-Men movies he had amnesia too, but what?
He's
like, I don't remember the last 20 fucking years. Fine. The last thing I remember, I was with all of the X-Men in the Academy. Where the fuck are they? And then you can, I mean, you can figure out summary. That can be where you explain.
So like the, even that, just off the top of my head, just thinking about all the X-Men bullshit lore that is there, it's like, well, so when the blip happened and like, you know, it's, so sure, Wolverine got blipped, but then other X-Men also got blipped. So it's not just Wolverine in the solo movie. It's just Wolverine being like, where is everyone?
Yeah, yeah.
But then, like as it opens, there's a couple other mutants in the academy or in the school, and then it could simply just be the, you know, the explanation there is, well, your defenses were down, and there is like the sort of Stryker character or a Henry Grinch or whatever his like, name was.
Henry Grinch.
Is it Grinch or Gyrich?
I hope it's Henry Grinch. That's
once again, it's
awesome
the ones
name.
You only read and you're like, I'm about to say it.
Henry Grinch.
Or is it Gyrich?
Is that
anyway.
The Grinch's first name? I reckon.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. His name's Henry.
It's all like, you know, Bolivar Trask. Yeah. All these kind of people who are very, you know, anti-human. Yeah, sorry, anti-mutant. And it's like, or like even like, you know, Graydon Creed, like Sabretooth's kid. All these people who had a grudge against like either mutants or X-Men or whatever, or again, if you make it more like, you know, the government knew and they were like all these superpowers and they knew about this like Xavier fucker and he was like, well, the defenses were down and so that was a time that we were able to, you know, make it the Weapon X program or the Weapons Plus program, which was like, fuck, you could even tie it into like Captain America, which is what they've done in the comics, which is just like, oh, cool. Yeah, so what happened was when the blip happened, the X-Men were... You know, half of them were gone, or the majority were gone. Defenses were down. Everyone was like in disarray. No one from the Weapons Plus program was gone. The government was still existing. They were like, this is the perfect opportunity now to win to round up all the superhumans. There's this school in there that's being protected by Xavier. It's currently not being protected by Xavier. We can go get them. So all the X-Men or whatever, they've been got by Weapon X.
Yeah,
they're being experimented on, and you've had 5 years of whatever the blip was, and now you have, like, the Weapons X program.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now it's Wolverine. It's like a Weapon X film that has to go and get the
people.
He's
got to go and bust them out, basically.
You know what I mean?
It becomes
a prison break film.
Absolutely.
With, you know, with X-Men.
I think it'll be fun, too, as well, if you... So you're saying in the comics, Weapon X and, like, Hydra are related?
Who knows?
Because it would be cool to have him...
I don't think so. But you may as well.
We could have Wolverine team up with the fuck's his name, the guy he was in Captain America, no, Winter Soldier, and
was it Winter Soldier?
No, it was he was experimented on before Captain America.
Oh, Isaiah Bradley.
Wolverine to be like, this is the one guy I remember.
Yeah,
but Wolverine's remembering him from World War II.
Yeah, right.
You know, and then Isaiah Bradley's like, brother, I gotta catch you up.
Yeah,
and he's it's, you know, it's all related or whatever.
So the whole Weapons Plus program sort of comes from Captain America, where it's like, well, that one worked. We got a super soldier serum. But then we lost the serum. And so now they were like, okay, how do we try and recreate it? And eventually it ends up with Wolverine and some others.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, you could have even just tied it in with that being Hydra as well. Who cares at this point? You're adapting it.
And I think it's better to go with it. Yeah, you're right. A small cast. Because if you end up at the end of it, it's like, whoa, there's 100 X-Men.
Yeah.
Your general audience thinks they want lots of superheroes, but that's so overwhelming.
Anyway, did you know that we're brought to you today by Manscaped?
Oh, I love those guys.
Yeah, they have taken a step up from Ball-o-ween.
Whoa, the spookiest time of year. Ball-o-ween?
Yeah.
Ball-o-ween? No, Ball-o-ween.
Oh, Ball-o-ween.
Yeah. Ball-o-ween.
To bring you, to bring your face the cleanest shave it's ever been. So, this season, no need to toil and trouble. Manscaped's all-new handyman. is the best way to get rid of that stubble. Featuring a compact design and new gen skin safe technology, the Handyman was designed to give you the smooth finish without the mess of a traditional shave. I'm scared of how many times they're getting me to say Handyman. Like, do I need to say this in front of a mirror or not say this in front of a mirror?
I don't think say it in front of a mirror or the Handyman will come and get you.
Am I getting got by bees or what's the Handyman getting me?
I don't think the Handyman. I think you're thinking of Candyman.
I am thinking of Candyman.
The Handyman just. He's awesome. He just comes to give you a hand job, dude. I love the Handyman. Yes, get this, the sweetest treat this Halloween by going to manscaped.com and you can use the code BASELESS for 20% off plus free shipping. Manscaped's awesome. We partner with them all the time.
I use mine today.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was freshening up. I shaved my face with not my Manscaped ball
that's
trimmer.
That's fair enough.
But then
What's wrong with doing that, though?
I don't know.
Because your ball, it's just hair. What's like, your pube hair worse than your head hair?
I don't know. I don't know. I think if you know, Joel Dusha was here, maybe he would yell at us.
I feel he would, but we're free to be, we're free from him today.
But yeah, I have a shaver for my face and then one for my nether regions.
Yeah, that's fine.
So yeah, I gave myself a bit of a spruce because I, you know, why not?
It's
a silly season.
Absolutely.
Maybe I shave it into the shape of a nice spooky ghost.
A little ghost, that's great. A little jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah.
The Handyman. It's great. It's great for wet or dry use, so you can use it in the shower. It's compact. It's airplane friendly. It's perfect travel. If you're on a plane that has a shower, you're flying some kind of awesome first class, you can use your Manscaped razor there. Being able to shave up to 3-day growth without the mess of a wet shave is priceless.
That's impressive. Like so people shave like every 3 days, like not their face hair, but that's
a lot of growth.
That's not just growth, but I'm impressed by, I guess, people's tenacity. And perseverance and, I guess, lack of laziness.
Well, this is useful because obviously sometimes you want to get rid of all of it, sometimes not quite. The cordless trimmer, it's got a rotary wheel, gives you up to 20 hair-cutting lengths all with one guard. So you don't have a whole bunch of different guards in the drawer to, like, figure out. No matter the length you want, your pubic hair, Manscaped has your back.
Mm. I actually think, though, Jackson, they're talking about shaving your beard.
Oh. You know what, Joel Salmon? You might be right.
Yeah, but maybe you want a bit of
a lot of bush, not much bush. But you're probably right on that. They are probably talking about shaving your beard. Either way.
Yeah, either way here. Because, again, they talk about people with, you know, scraggly beards here, you know, the Halloween costumes. They take some effort. But beard grooming doesn't need to when you can get 20 different beard lengths in just one guard. Because I started thinking to myself, Jackson. I was thinking to myself.
What were you thinking?
Think to be like, who needs 20 different lengths for their ball hair?
You know what? If I'd taken nary a moment to consider the question, I might have come to the same conclusion. But also, I don't know. Maybe you really want to mix it up.
Maybe
I'm not here to judge.
Yeah, the good point. Maybe I kind of want like the nice like steps.
Yeah, exactly. You want to texture it, feather it.
Yeah.
Well, you can get 20% off and free shipping with the code BASELESS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code BASELESS. For a look as sweet as candy, get yourself the Handyman from Manscaped.
That's right. There's no trick with this treat. Manscaped has you covered.
Oh, yeah.
So you borrow from Logan, right?
Yeah.
And that weird thing. So, okay. Hey, again, with the snap, all right, sure, cool. So Wolverine, he chuffs off. Maybe you covered a couple of the other X-Men chuff off, or maybe it is maybe only Wolverine that he goes on that blip.
Yeah.
And then you have, say, the five original X-Men, and then you had the new, like the five or brand new X-Men that also came in, whatever it is. So you have Wolverine, he got blipped. A couple others got blipped. Xavier didn't. But Xavier, the psychic backlash of half the population disappearing. Oh, I fucked him up. The fences were down. People come in, nab him, go. All his enemies, people he kept at bay, whatever it is, got him, gone. Right? There's just sort of like easy in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's good as well if you're just like, you're just Wolverine is what you start with, because I feel like you get that feeling, you know, early watching Marvel movies where you're like, I don't know who's going to turn up.
Mm.
And there were people that you would at that point be excited to see turn up, where now they're like, hey, it's Firebrand or whatever. Yeah. And you're like, I don't care. I don't know who this person is. Yeah. They're like, we're making a Hypno Hustler movie or whatever. And you're like, you're really at the bottom of the barrel. But in Civil War, when you see Spider-Man, you're like, I've literally shat my pants. I'm so excited. But I feel like if you're doing just Wolverine, you're watching that movie and he's like, I got to find the X-Men. But he doesn't really give you an idea of who those X-Men are.
Yeah.
then it's kind of exciting. Whoever turns up, if he finds Gambit, you're like, oh my God, like, cause it's fucking Gambit,
yeah,
baby.
Again, it's getting a bit of a missed opportunity here, but you're right. Yeah. It's just like, if you only had, it was like, yeah, Wolverine was the only one that got blipped and come back in the mansion. Everyone's gone. Then he's like, okay, cool. That's your teaser. Next one is like a solo Wolverine film. He can interact with people who are from the part, like the current MCU cast at the time. So he could try and go and interact. It was like, he knew Captain America.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get rid of a lot of that, like, Wolverine has no memory of his past.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get rid of a decent amount of that.
Just try not to retread the previous movies here.
It's a bit dull at this point. But, you know, he's like, oh, I know my old army buddies. Oh, I'm going to go and see, you know, Steve. I'm going to go see, you know, Natasha or whatever. Yeah. He, you know, so Bucky. And going to that and being like, oh, they're also, now they're gone now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ah, shit. But he knows Bucky and, like, you know, he could go to see Natasha. But, like, Natasha's gone. But, oh, there's Yelena.
Yeah, those kind of things.
And so he could have those interactions with the current.
And, like, it's so funny to think that, like, I imagine people be like, oh, but you don't want to be retconning stuff. You're making new history for the MCU if you say mutants have always been there. But the MCU does that all the time.
And, yeah, good.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it doesn't. It just doesn't matter.
Hey, there,
like,
was Ant-Man in Vietnam.
Yeah, exactly. And we've still not gotten that fucking movie, which is so fucked.
I know.
But, yeah, but there was Ant-Man in Vietnam. The fucking Black Widow movie, they're like, there's a spaceship full of Soviet spies still in the sky, and they control the world to go. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But, anyway, that would be awesome.
That would have been great.
But it's clearly not what we're getting. Because if you introduce, and it's, I mean, it's so weird with the MCU, because they have introduced mutants.
Yep.
There's a Wolverine reference in She-Hulk.
Yep.
How canon that is, I don't know. It's funny as well, because it feels like in the early days, it used to be like, okay, Kevin Feige's really on the fucking ball about what mutants are getting, superheroes are getting introduced where. We're not just chucking, you can chuck out like a little reference, but nothing massive. But now I feel like you hear stories where somebody will be like, whoa, there was a Wolverine reference in She-Hulk. And then one of the She-Hulk writers will be like, yeah, just snuck it in as an Easter egg or whatever.
You would not.
You're like, so there's no like oversight anymore really as to what becomes canon and what doesn't. But then if the MCU carries on and introduces mutants in that way, where they just are here, that this is such a funny point to do it at. It's so meaningless now if they're like, and also, they were just always around. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, because like initially, like, oh, they could do like, you know, they could do Krakoa, where it's just like, oh, the mutants were just in this little island over here. But in the comics, that's kind of also now, you know, fallen to shit. And it's all, you know, bad times for the X-Men. I'd probably avoid that now.
Plus, it's this weird thing with the way the heroes in the MCU or the characters in the MCU are not. What am I trying to say here? It's like based on the cultural idea of that.
Okay, so you know how we're in a constant state of chaos and fighting for our lives every single day on this godforsaken earth? Between work and everything else falling apart around me, I have not had it together enough to meal prep or plan dinner or honestly function like a normal human being most weeknights. Cooking something good is hard, and I deserve a modicum of joy every now and again. That's why I've turned to Omaha Steaks. My freezer is full. That's sorted. It is genuinely the one part of my life running smoothly. Real steaks, burgers, seafood, chicken, sides, all shipped to my door. So even on the nights where everything else is on fire, dinner isn't one more thing to stress about. I made the burgers the other night, didn't even have the energy to think, just pulled them out, threw them on the grill, and they tasted like something from an actual steakhouse. Somehow, the one corner of my life that's together is the one I didn't even have to think about. If you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the easiest way in. 20 premium steak burgers across 5 cuts. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's right, BEEF. B-E-E-F. omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Character rather than any specific incarnation. So for Wolverine, if you're introducing, I don't think this is the right way to do it, but I feel like if when they introduce Wolverine, they're like, what does the public know about Wolverine? And mostly, they probably would be basing it on the previous X-Men movies. And any reference really will be to those movies rather than to the you know what I mean?
Yep. You're either going to get the what's already happened in the movies or you're going to get the cartoons, right?
Yeah.
And so you kind of got like, okay, there's still like a very small cast of characters that people can like remember or know, I think. Like as an X-Men reader and fan for the longest time, I know too much.
Yeah.
And even I don't know enough.
Like, yeah, oh God, it seems...
There's so much more
extremely
garbage.
Extremely overwhelming, yeah.
So it's like, okay, John Q. Citizen, Johnny Marvel is like, I love me Marvel films.
Johnny Marvel knows, I'm going to say, the original six X-Men, or however many there are.
No, I was like, oh, well, which one? Because I don't even think that would be true. I reckon they would know...
Wolverine?
Wolverine.
Professor X.
Yeah. They'd know Magneto.
Magneto.
Mystique.
Mystique, yeah. Because actually...
Cyclops.
Another funny thing is you've got to think about who are the X-Men that over the years have been parodied in pop culture.
Oh, yeah.
Because those are also, like, in say, fucking Family Guy or Robot Chicken, or which are the ones that get referenced in other media.
Yeah, and, like, also with the power set that's easy to understand.
Yeah.
Iceman, he ice.
Ice, yeah, that's true. That's true. You can probably get away with Iceman.
Yeah.
Phoenix...
Yeah,
it's kind of a. I guess they've done so many Dark Phoenix movies, you could probably include her.
you could chuck in Jean Grey. Why
Beast,
not?
But you could never. I mean, you could, whatever, but probably they would never go for just big hands and feet Beast.
Mm.
They would go for Dog Man Beast or Catman Beast.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then in terms of villains.
Jubilee, like, is that a person that, you know. Kitty Pryde, is that a person.
Maybe.
Because.
Sabretooth?
Sabretooth, yeah, as a villain, sure.
That's kind of it, though.
And like Sentinels.
And Sentinels, yeah. You could do Sentinels. Yeah, that's what the public, I feel like, knows about the X-Men.
Because the X-Men animated series did this, and they've done it a few times, I think with Kitty Pryde, where it was just like, oh, they're the new introduction, they're the new character, they're the audience surrogate, as it were.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And they're the person that we're seeing the world through. And so the animated series kind of opens up with, you know, Jubilee being
probably
like that.
You could probably do that,
and
then.
And I think so does, like, you know, when Kitty is introduced as well. And so, like, those are good characters to have as, like, the eyes of the audience initially. But, like, again, you're like,
audience... Yeah.
I don't know. Rogue?
Rogue?
She touch and suck power.
Yeah, people know that about Rogue. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so, okay. The MCU right now, it's in no position to introduce the X-Men. If they're going to do it, I think it'll be in Deadpool 3. Is that the thinking currently?
You've either got the, Ms. Marvel, Mutant.
That's true. I forgot they're kind of...
There it is.
I forgot about that. That's such a weird. And Hulks, too.
Hulk, yeah.
They've got a special gene that makes them Hulk.
Yep.
So they kind of.
I think it's just going to be one of those things where it's like, oh, it's really weird that. I think they're just going to be. Because in the comics, what's the difference between, you know, say. I was going to say the Hulk because, you know, a beloved person like the Hulk, but he's often not beloved. Say Johnny Storm, right?
Yeah.
What's the difference between Johnny Storm and, say. Firestar, who one is a mutant,
one is a cosmic ray boy. Yeah.
And mutants, they're like, we hate mutants, but there's cosmic ray people. We love cosmic ray people. It's very strange.
Yeah.
Also, Namor, mutant.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He wasn't.
Also, like, introduced as mutants. So I think they're just going to have one of the things where it's like, hey, anyone who's a superhero is potentially a mutant.
Yeah.
It's just that's how the one thing interacts with that and that become mutant.
Yeah.
So it's like, so
Super Soldier Serum
hits
your X gene, you become mutant.
Ms. Marvel, like, she's not an inhuman, but she's like a genie person.
She's like a gene
that,
blood or something.
Yeah, plus X gene,
you get mutant power.
Namor, it's like, X gene plus, you get this.
Yeah.
So I think it's one of those things where it's going to be almost like, oh, we're discovering that if, you know, if this and this, you get, you know, this. So, like, a mutant's being that X factor. And then, like, oh, is Spider-Man a mutant? Maybe.
Is Green Goblin a mutant?
Maybe.
And so it's funny because then to introduce... Mm. So, obviously, one of the main theories as to how the X-Men are coming is that it'll be, like, the Battle World movies or whatever, Secret Wars, whatever it's called, that at the end of that, they'll be, like... We've done so much fucky shit to the universe that it's a reboot of the MCU, and we've got mutants now, which is funny because that would then sort of make all of the weird mutant setting up they're doing at the moment sort of invalidated.
Yeah.
Alternatively, they don't reboot the MCU, and then it just goes back to normal with, like, a couple of changes after Battle World, and then they're like, what? Are they going to have Professor X come out and be like, Ms. Marvel, you should join my academy that I've had this whole time?
Yeah.
Is that what you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of, there's no...
I think what they're maybe leading up to is a combination of, so we're seeing this in, we saw this in like Doctor Strange.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's the incursions, so the two different Earths, universes are kind of colliding together with Earth being the point. So we're going to get something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to do this, it's going to be like this weird thing of like, well, why are these incursions happening?
Yeah.
If they kind of do that, which would be kind of like an interesting thing to go down. So we have that, plus with the Loki shit, which is like how you can prune things and how you can prune people. I reckon they're going to make it larger so you can prune universes.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, prune whole sections of things. And so then it's just going to be this weird thing of like, the reason we're pruning isn't just because of like Kang trying to stop the Kang wars, but we're also trying to
stop
incursions as well. Or it'll be something like, yes, Kang used this to stop, you know, to the Kang War or whatever.
Yeah.
But we can use the same technology to buy us time. And that's what I really liked about when they did that in the comics. Like, this was like Hickman's run as well. And it was this whole thing of like, you can't win. You just try and find ways not to lose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I thought that was a really cool like motive there. Mm. And it was, yeah, all right, cool. Well, we can buy ourselves time by destroying these other worlds.
Oh, therefore, yeah.
Yeah, we're committing atrocities,
but we stay alive. Yeah, yeah.
Alive, and there's some good moral quandaries.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting stuff.
So I think maybe they're going to use the technology that they find with, like, the time fuckos to be like, right, well, we can use those with the incursions, and then we can keep our universe running.
Yeah.
And at some point, yeah, it'll kind of keep going down and down and down until we get, like, a battle world. And because at the moment they have yet to introduce a guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's really no guy left.
No cosmic guy either. I don't know what you're doing.
Is it going to be Ms. Marvel?
Ms. Marvel, Doom, they're going to be... Because, again, it's weird to introduce Doom to then also then Doom to be the savior of it all. I don't know, because it's very much like a Doom v... Mr. Fantastic thing. But yeah.
Also, like, I mean, dude,
and then you'll be like, okay, cool. We've pruned a bunch from X many worlds, and now what we've got together, glued together, is this world, and the mutants are there and deal with it.
That's so funny. It's so unnecessary.
Yep.
I think
they're going to do incursions in Deadpool now that I think
about
it.
Yeah, probably.
I think that might be why they're hopping.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they're like, whoa, something's going fucky with the universe. That's also got Wolverine in it, so probably that'll set stuff up. It would be awesome, I think, in a kind of tragic way if the way they introduced mutants to the like MCU was, or like just imagining Deadpool talking to the audience and saying, well, the mutants are here now, this is it, don't worry about it, it's not lazy writing, I'm Deadpool, chimichangas. But I can imagine that happening.
Yeah,
you know, like I can imagine, and it's also so fun, like a reboot. Don't reboot your universe. Like, I get it. Obviously, it's too fucking convoluted at the moment, and you're shit in the bed left, right, and center. You're going, stinker, 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 stinker. But your general audience, John Q Movies and his wife, John Q Movies, they don't know what the fuck a reboot. You know what I mean? That's so confusing.
And, like, you don't also just need to reboot it in universe. You can if you wanted to. And this would involve a bit more marketing.
Yeah.
But whatever you want to do with the current MCU, tie it off.
Yeah.
Tick.
Pinch it off.
We did it.
Drop it in the bowl.
Hey, finished.
Hit flush.
Well done.
Yeah.
There's the, like, you know, the Infinite Saga. Hmm. We did
the Multiverse Saga.
Multiverse Saga. And we definitely did the Kang.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was clever of us. Pinch that all off and just be like, sweet. That's all in a nice, neat little bow. Well done. You're never going to see these. We're done. Tick.
Yeah.
Next movie.
Yeah.
New, whole new, all different, right?
Yeah.
And then you can just be like, yeah, we're starting again without any kind of – we're following a different universe. You don't need a unit – like you don't need an in-universe explanation. You know what I mean? You kind of need like a marketing explanation.
It's the fucking Yellowstone thing again in a lot of ways where – it feels like they're making the movies where they're like, dude, we got to make it so that it makes sense to the big nerds. But you could introduce a Spider-Man movie completely unrelated to anything that's happened. Like, literally, that does not follow on from the most recent Spider-Man movie with Tom Holland, with same cast. I don't think audience, you'll get people online, but don't listen to people online. Your everyday movie-going audience will be like, awesome, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That'll be the beginning and end of their thought. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, again, you look at, Batman back in the day. You're like, yeah, Michael Keaton's Batman. Sick.
Nice.
All right, next one, Michael. Oh, he's still Batman? Sick. He's fighting a penguin now? That's good news. Awesome. This is what I like to see.
I love the movies. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Val Kilmer's now Batman? Okay.
All right.
All right. Is this the same? Who cares? All right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, look. It's Clooney.
Cool. I like him. All right. He's good in movies.
Yeah, sure. Arnie's in this one. That's great to hear.
Cool.
Maybe we're wrong because, again, Spider-Man, No Way Home got the best movie ever.
It is the greatest movie of all time.
And is that because they tried to appeal to the nerds?
Yeah.
Maybe.
But as I think I've said before, they blew their load so early. They've got nothing quite like that that they can pull out of their pocket again that's going to wow audiences to the same degree. They have no, other than maybe the X-Men, but then I also think that won't work the same way.
No.
Because the beauty of Spider-Man No Way Home is that they had the legacy of some very beloved Spider-Man movies to draw on.
Yeah.
Sam Raimi's trilogy, some people are like, that's the best superhero movies ever made. Fair enough. And I really love the Amazing Spider-Man trilogy.
You sure do.
And some other people do, but it's less so.
And with X-Men, it's kind of like a bit of a crapshoot. I think there's more terrible X-Men movies than there are good ones.
Absolutely. But at least with Spider-Man, you had Tom Holland's Spider-Man established.
Yeah.
So that you could be like, you already know this Spider-Man, and now he's with the other two Spider-Men, and all of their bad guys. And so it's not, but if with the X-Men, you're like, here's the X-Men, that's like a different thing. You know what I mean?
And also the X-Men kind of already blew that load.
Yeah, they
did.
With
Days of Future Past to be like, hey, you love McAvoy, but what if we have Patty Stewart right there, dude? Talks to his younger self, what do you think?
And also, hilariously, the MCU kind of blew that load with the X-Men a little bit anyway in Multiverse of Madness by having Patty Stewart Charles Xavier. So They really don't have, the last one they've got probably, and we're getting a whole movie about it, is Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. Really?
You mean Deadpool?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. In Deadpool 3, Hugh Jackman's Wolverine is the kind of the last big, iconic character and actor combination that they can pull out. Other than that, what?
I just don't think you're going to get that same level of people caring if, say, James Marsden comes back as Cyclops.
Yeah, I don't.
I love Cyclops. I'm a big Cyclops
fan. And I love James Marsden.
But I think James Marsden's characterization of Cyclops kind of made everyone not like Cyclops.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I'm like, fair.
Okay, I get it. It's not like any of the actors that played the Fantastic Four and the Fantastic Four movies happened, if they came back, people would care.
Anna Paquin as Rogue coming back. Is that going to, we can hoot and holler in the cinema?
I don't think so.
Halle Berry as Storm?
Nope.
Ray Park as Toad?
Nope. Halle Berry as Storm, almost?
Almost, but I think this.
But again, nowhere near.
Halle Berry was really underutilized in that series.
Yeah, it's true.
I think you may be getting Ian McKellen and Patty Stewart coming back as Magneto and Xavier, but they are old.
And that's that's the thing as well. I think it's kind of depressing. It's a bit depressing with Hugh Jackman, where you're like, to have to go back to this, and where it's so obvious that it's just pandering or whatever, because you're so old and you're so clearly.
No, I think with, this is a weird thing, right? Because I think with Hugh Jackman, there's that element of earnestness.
Because that's true.
I think when, the news broke that Spider-Man was going to be in the MCU, Hugh Jackman was being interviewed and he was like, oh man, cool.
I want to be back. For sure. I guess you build up a kind of relationship with the character over the years. It makes sense.
And so maybe Fassbender and McAvoy coming back as the young versions of those maybe is enough to get some hootin' and hollering. I don't think there's going to be much
But then also it's funny because they have the almost the opposite problem where you're not going to get much hooting and hollering from anybody other than Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. Mm-hmm. But you can't just have Hugh Jackman's Wolverine be the only reoccurring actor-character combo in the new MCU. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, another way... Oh, again, another missed opportunity, which ended up just being a bit of a fuck you, was, again, Ralph Boner.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Like, you had the guy. You had the guy.
And, like, bro, do not get me wrong. I respect the hell out of the Ralph Boner.
Same.
That's fucking awesome. But you did have an opportunity to do something...
Yeah. You know, if you were going to not have the X-Men in your MCU... Right.
Yeah.
Well done, gang.
Perfect.
You don't want anyone else to play with your balls?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Love
You've
it.
Taken it, and there it is.
You're going away.
They're locked away. Yeah, these are my balls. You can't touch my balls.
Yeah.
These are my ex-balls. They're mine.
Yeah. You can make your own movie. I don't care. It's not X-Men.
Yeah. But we're gonna tuck it away. We don't even do anything with it.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic. But they seem to be like, no.
It's a cake and eat it two situation, which is just so messy. And like, also, they've kind of missed the boat too.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and we've spoken about this before, because the multiverse stuff has been handled extremely weirdly, where they're like, hey, it's here, it's coming. That's what they keep saying. Every fucking movie, they're like, the multiverse movie you are expecting when we say it's a multiverse movie, it's on the horizon. And then you get a sort of like pre-cum version of it, and then you never get to bust your nut. And so you get... Spider-Man's villains have come in from the other movies, but they're gone now. Doctor Strange is going to different multiverses, but actually he's going to like three. You know what I mean? So because that's all been handled so weirdly, they don't really even have the right foundation to do a... It's a multiverse where the X-Men are from.
Yeah.
What the fuck's your name? Scarlet Witch she's brought the two universes together to bring her brother back. You know what I mean? Like, they can't do that anymore.
Yeah, like, because you had this as an opportunity there to if you wanted to tie it in with what they seem to be doing, wanting to do with the incursions and that kind of stuff. He's like, well, Wanda is there trying to bring her brother back.
Yeah.
And because she's doing that, she's sort of like hurrying up an incursion, so we need to stop that. But there's the mutants are there, and then jumping ship, and and so then, you know, you have this, like, something could have happened there narratively if you wanted to. But again, this comes down to... What do they want to do?
It's very
and that's
hard
the kind
tell.
Of stuff to be like. Well, we kind of wanted to do Endgame, and we did it,
and that's I guess
and,
you can make more
we
movies
achieved it.
If
shit,
you want.
Like,
yeah,
well done, team. Everyone get to pat yourself on the back. Fantastic. And I think what they probably could have done from that is gone right. You know, any of the other creators.
Yeah.
This is the time to have our cake and eat it too,
because
this was the cake. Fucking right here, the end game, the end of that, everyone coming together, fucking Cap holding the hammer, everyone hooting, hollering, this is your cake, there's the cake. Now, phase four, this is us fucking eating.
Absolutely.
So if you have a story to tell,
here's your opportunity.
Characters that you do, we don't really mind, because we don't want to keep tying this up, you know, continuing this as such in terms of, like, planning for many things, but this is our ticket tape parade.
Okay?
All right, so look at James Gunn. You want to do some shit with Peter Quill and the Guardians and that?
Here
you
go.
Sweet. Have, you know, Guardians Volume 3 and they basically what happens in the one that we saw. Because you got like, that tied it all up. It's quite nice. It's very sweet. You're going like, Guardians are still guardianing and Peter Quill is like, here's my granddad. And
I'm going home to hang out with granddad. Yeah,
and
exactly.
So you go, okay, cool. That's one creator who used these, you know, things and tick. You got like, okay, the guy who directed Doctor Strange, or did they ask him and get someone else?
I don't know. It wouldn't shock me.
Or they did because Sam Raimi did it.
That's
but then you like, don't get Sam Raimi on that. Be like, okay, Derek was his name?
I'd be like, all right,
was there anything that we wanted to do? Just as, not even, like, it doesn't have to be a, you know, a final movie.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, you know.
You can just, here's your opportunity to just tell a Doctor Strange story, basically.
Like, you don't have to tie this into anything that's coming next. This is not filler. This is your sweet reward.
Just
make
exactly.
a good fucking film.
Make
right?
your Doctor Strange movie that you want to make.
And then just tie it all off, because then you're like, cool, we've got this space.
Yeah.
To like, right, we've you know, and I think film goers probably would have loved that, to be like, oh, cool, you had a story to tell and you told it? Great.
As opposed to
let's paint by numbers.
But also I think, I mean, like, it feels like they just set up this pattern that people came to expect, you know, where you're like, what is the next big thing? What is the next big thing?
Same with, again, like Wakanda Forever. Yeah. Like, yeah, sure, you had the tragedy of
Chadwick Boseman's
death hanging over it. And, you know, who again, the filmmaker, like, he was a close friend. Mm. And was that rushed? Was that... Maybe, I don't know, because he was dealing with grief in this. And it was just kind of like that was their way, expression through art. Great. But like how much of like interference from the head or like the studio interference being like, no, you got to include X, Y, and Z. Mm. Whereas it could be like, hey, you have free reign. Do what you want to do.
Yeah, for sure.
And just kind of like, you know, have a couple, you know, draft scripts as it were. We could, there'll of course be some oversight, but... Mm. Yeah. I don't know. It just felt like, look, you did the thing. Yeah, you made so much fucking money, and you did what no one else
has
been able to achieve with Endgame.
I think it seems crazy that it didn't seem like they had something ready to go for the next phase.
Well, it seems maybe that, I don't know, did they... Yeah, maybe they didn't expect to succeed. I genuinely have no idea.
Surely they must have been like, every move we've made has done... Mm. You know, it's been a lot of winners.
Yeah.
And now this is huge. Okay, we got to have that next phase ready. I mean, I know there was COVID and stuff, but still.
There was COVID, there was Sony, there was like all these kind of weird things that were sort of like happening. But also at the same time, it's like, how much are we kind of letting them be like, oh, I ain't you with it.
Yeah, exactly. It's been pretty bad since, really.
Because they seem to be like, right, well, we know our production schedule, and they basically started just churning things out.
Yeah.
So they chose to churn things out rather than, you know, right, let's just take some time, reassess, and let's talk to the filmmakers that are involved. Let's talk to the actors that are involved. Let's talk to the writers that are involved and be like, okay, cool, where to now?
Mm.
And, like, maybe they went and did, like, a big writer's retreat. Maybe they did all this kind of stuff.
It just doesn't
seem like that at all.
So what's off to Captain Marvel? What's the... scheduling out of my little machine.
I also don't have my little machine with me. But like Loki season 2 is kicking along.
Oh yeah.
It's all right. Yeah. See the first episode. It's pretty good.
I liked Loki season 1.
We're initially like, oh, Loki's gone into a different universe. I mean, spoilers for episode 1 if you don't give a shit. Mm. And I know you don't, Jackson.
I truly don't.
So if you do care, dear listener,
you can skip forward.
You can skip forward a bit. But he went back in time.
Oh.
And so it looks like the Kang set up the TVA.
I see.
And so there's like stuff that's hidden behind everything, which is like Kang's big face and everything. So it's kind of like, oh, so before all of this, Kang set this all up, and people that were working there, they wiped their minds.
Yeah.
And now there's like maybe speculation that the head person that got, I forget what even happened to them in season 1, but the head of the TVA.
The tribunal or whatever it was?
Ravonna.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Maybe she is a Kang variant anyway, she helped Kang in the Kang Wars.
Yeah, okay.
In some way.
Yeah.
Don't know how. That'll be, maybe the mystery for this season. Or the answer to episode 2.
That would be a really good way to get rid of Jonathan Majors is to be like, it's all the girl Kangs. Because Jonathan Majors probably can't play that role. And then every Kang we've seen so far has been Jonathan Majors, has been a male Kang. So you could just be like, there was a Kang gender war just off screen. It's all girl Kangs from now on.
Yeah.
So
I don't know what they're going to even do with all that as well. They don't need an in-universe explanation, but for some reason there's a lot of like people talking online being like, the news of the universe. That doesn't.
It's just what people have come to expect for some reason. And then I suppose the studios feed that by being like, no, because it feels like what happens, like, it's kind of like with the Ralph Boner thing where everybody's like, whoa, wait, what the fuck? And then someone has to come out in a press release and be like, no, don't worry.
Mutants are coming.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
And like, I don't know, it's that weird thing where it's like, you know, again, once again, I do respect the fact that yes, it was a Ralph Boner gag.
That's awesome, yeah.
Right. However, it's like that whole George R. R. Martin talking about,
Like
the final of Game of Thrones, Where she's kind of like, oh, the. Which, well, he's, okay, he's hey, basically like, you've set it all up.
Yeah, you've set it up so that the butler did it, I think is what he's talking about. If you then don't have the butler do it, it's not a clever twist. You're just cheating the audience, basically, yeah, because you've set up a certain thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like his whole thing about, yeah, with Arya killing the Night King, and you're like, you really set so much up, but all right.
I think it's funny with the Ralph Boner thing because that. It shows how little oversight there, like, because the way the writers of WandaVision talk about it is they're like, we just thought it was a funny joke, basically.
Yeah.
They're like, we just, but then that means that, because if I was Kevin Feige and I was eventually going to introduce the mutants, I would be like, oh, actually, probably let's not do that so that we can keep him in the wings for when we do.
Yeah.
But it seems like there was no communication between them, or if there was, Kevin Feige didn't care. I don't know. That's just kind of what all of the TV shows and all the movies feel like right now. They're very independent. That doesn't feel as cohesive anymore. Yeah. Which, I mean, like, ultimately awesome, because I would love the MCU to die.
Same.
I think that would be great. And if that's kind of what we're heading towards, and we can just get, like, kind of, we can, like, lose that baggage. And I get that that's what this idea of, like, rebooting it is meant to do. Yeah. And I know... Probably like 2 years ago, I was like, I reckon they're going to reboot the MCU at some point. But at this point, it just feels you're in the dying days of the superhero genre.
Yeah.
You really got to wow us with something. I don't know. Yeah.
And again, I would love to live in a world where we got the like characters and that kind of stuff and we did more smaller things.
Yeah.
Where it was like, yay, cool. Like, Give me the scene in Age of Ultron where everyone is just hanging out at a party trying to lift up Thor's hammer, and give me like a tight 90 minutes character piece of that bullshit. And I understand that, well, you got to hit the four different quadrants and we got to make sure we got like some explosion and titties for the fellas and a bit of romance for the ladies, and we have to do all this kind of stuff. Plus, we got to be able to sell the toys.
I understand
that there's like reasons why we have to do certain things. And then we're like, so if we spend all this money on all this kind of stuff, we get every bum on seat and then we get the money. And I get it. I do. I understand that. But at the same time, you're making trash.
Yeah, or you're making garbage, baby.
And I understand. But like, hey, if you're not spending all this money on like, you know, giant CGI sets or... you know, the actors' insane salaries, you know, and you did more like smaller, like... I think that'd be great, like little character pieces.
I think you can see it in...
we're never going to get it.
No. I think you can see it heaps in, like, the Spider-Man movies where, like, the first, like, Spider-Man Homecoming, it had, like, a bit of that chill vibe.
Yeah.
But they've never really been Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They've never really been movies about Spider-Man being Spider-Man.
No.
And I don't think they ever will be. Like, not really. Like, Spider-Man... Homecoming, maybe a bit. Spider-Man Far From Home is like a weird, he's somewhere else. He's not in New York. He's not helping citizens. He's
kind of setting up to be the next Tone.
Well, yeah, kind of. But it's also just not, it doesn't do the, you know, you read a Spider-Man comic, a basic Spider-Man comic, and it's about Spider-Man in New York, and something threatens New York. And Spider-Man has got to juggle being, and you can see this in the Spider-Verse movies too, Spider-Man's got to juggle being Spider-Man, but also being just a freaking guy who's kind of down on his luck or whatever.
Yeah,
Spider-Man 2 is about Spider-Man's got Tony Stark glasses, and Tony Stark's bad guy is Mysterio, and now he's in Belgium or whatever. Mm. And then Spider-Man 3 is like, he chats to a wizard. It's just like... They're not Spider-Man movies in a kind of weird way. There's a scene in The Amazing Spider-Man. There's a great scene where Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man drops down to stop these kids bullying another kid. Mm. And then he hangs out with that kid and talks about his science project. Mm. And it's so engaging to watch because he's being Spider-Man.
Yeah. Like,
and it's like
aspect,
what you like about Spider-Man.
And again, Amazing Spider-Man, I think it was the first one where... you know, he dunks on like Flash Thompson. He's like a showboat that. And then Uncle Ben's like, that's not what we do.
What are you
doing? You know, this is, and it's just like that bit of like, oh yeah, a bit of heart.
Absolutely.
There. Whereas, I don't know, it's like, get it's like if it was the MCU, it would be like, Flash Thompson, Dickless Wonder, you're calling me that, I'm calling you that. And then it'd be like, oh, no, my uncle's behind me.
Yeah, oh, no. He's behind me, isn't he? But also, I think it's that thing you can tell with the Spider-Man movies, the MCU Spider-Man movies, where you're like, it's very clearly an MCU movie, not a Spider-Man movie. It's that hitting the quadrants thing. Yeah. So look,
that's annoying, because I kind of liked like the first one, at least. I actually didn't mind the second one, but yeah, it's just, when you go back and kind of reassess it all, you're like,
really like what you're, if you're saying like you're going to watch a Spider-Man. Anyway, I don't know.
I get what you mean.
This is a crazy question, but what are our swings for the fences for how they'll introduce the X-Men into the MCU now?
Well, swing for the fence. The swing for the fence would be they once again do a Dark Phoenix storyline, but maybe do it on the Phoenix side, where it's kind of the Phoenix is there to rebirth and reignite the X gene the mutants, and that's how we get them. There's just like a big firebird in the sky goes, and everyone's like, "What's that?" And
then suddenly, I'm made of eggs now, or whatever. Yeah,
Eggman, Eye Boy,
Dog.
Beast Wrestler. Dog.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And it's never explained. Gene died off screen.
Yeah. I think my swing for the fence is that the Deadpool movie will introduce the X-Men to the MCU by literally just having Deadpool say it. Like at some point in the MCU universe, they go to the X-Mansion and Deadpool will look to the camera and he'll say something to the effect of like, what? Didn't you know they were here the whole time? Yeah. And then he'll step inside. And then it'll just be established that they are a fact in the MCU.
Or he'll be reading a comic book.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll be like, so that's what you were doing in the battle in New York. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it'll just be terrible. See, that's, I can see that already happened, already filmed.
Yep, me too,
too. Yeah, it's going to suck.
It's going to be bad. Movies are good, though. As we always say. Movies are good and I like them.
Uh-huh.
And on that note, I've been Jackson Bailey.
I've been Joel Zammert. And this has been another episode of Baseless Speculation. And we've been the BS Boys.
Where's Joel Dushel?
Where he gone?
We don't know.
Where will I be next week? Who can say, dude?
BS Boys are dropping like flies. It's just going to be me.
Maybe.
Thanks for listening to Baseless Speculation. Remember to rate and review us on iTunes, and if you want us to hear about your baseless speculations, just email us in at baselessspeculation@gmail.com, and to continue the conversation, head on over to our SansPants Discord or Facebook group. Links to those are in the show notes.